The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
This Sunday on the KJS Show, we welcome back a powerhouse of South African jazz, a trumpeter, composer, and band leader who plays with the fire of revolution and the grace of heritage. From the Johannesburg streets to global stages, his sound is as fearless as it is fluid. He is the force behind unforgettable projects just like Biggie Seizwe, Born to be Black, and Oratorio of a Forgotten Youth. He's not done shaking the jazz world, I always say. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome the ever-evolving and always electrifying Mandla Mlangeni to the KJS Show. Good morning, brother. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, brother, and thank you for having me here. And good morning to the listeners out there. Always a pleasure being on your show.
Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back. You know, and I want to talk about the three projects, because I think you and I have always had these conversations, possibly outside the club, the jazz club, maybe sitting, you know, behind the scenes and stuff. But let's have this officially, the conversation, the three albums, you know, the three distinct journeys. You know, take us behind the scenes, Mandla. How did, you know, the creative spark, I suppose, differ between Biggie Seizwe, Born to be Black, and Oratorio of a Forgotten Youth?
Oh, I think, I think the Oratorio, maybe I'll start with Oratorio. Oratorio is the most recent one that I've released. And Oratorio is essentially the culmination of both the albums in terms of the repertoire. And they both influenced that. But then in terms of the Oratorio, what differs from the Oratorio is that the Oratorio is a staged work, a staged production, which features a band, a full-piece band, and has arrangements for string quartet, choir, and also the theatrical element, which incorporates sand art. Mm. And then starting off, I mean, I started, the Amandla Freedom Ensemble was started when I had recently relocated back to Joburg from Cape Town and used to perform at the African Freedom Station. And that's where I actually assembled the first band, which included Dumi Mkhorosi, Ariel Zamonski, Oscar Achabani, Nhlanhla Mahlangu, and some few others along the way. And we also would feature like your likes of Mthunzi Mvubu, Sisonke Konti. And then we also worked together with when he'd frequent the country, Shabaka Hutchins, and he would also be a guest. And actually we were fortunate enough to record with him in the first and the second album as well, the Born to be Black. And but then essentially what the Biggie Seizwe was an ode to my father, who was a human rights activist and was investigating the atrocities of the apartheid regime, particularly the dealings of hit squads that were targeting activists in the 80s, in the early 80s. And then that's how, and through that, he was a casualty of those investigations. But my father was very involved politically, and saw what was happening and the change that would be coming to South Africa. And in an ode to him, I aptly entitled the album Biggie Sizwe. It is 11 track album, I think. And actually this year will mark 10 years since I've released it.
Wow.
Funny enough. Mm. And most of the music was written in my days in Cape Town. I think a vast majority of the music was written when I was in Cape Town. And the thing about the first album is, like, it's a culmination of all your experiences. Everything you've ever done in your life comes into the first album. And it's a different story when you release your second album, because now it's like maybe it's the leftover tracks or the ones that you didn't actually lay down in the first album, or some new music or arrangements, or possibly a new direction that you want to take, that you didn't take from the first album. And then the first album, obviously, all of them are independent, were recorded and released independently. And it's a reflective, and it's more of a reflection of the time and space that I was occupying.
In the mid 2015.
Yeah. And then fast forward, I think 2 years after that, I recorded Born to be Black. And that was more of a celebration of an archival of the multitude of histories that existed, musical histories and musical heritage that I incorporated into my music. And through that, I also collaborated with many distinguished musicians such as Yopra Lewis Moholo, Andy Leonana, and we also got Shabaka Hutchings on there. And we also had the little known singer, who's now a sensation, Zoe Modiga, was on board. And we also had Salim Washington, Bab Salim Washington.
That's right.
And we had, it was multi-generational, and it spoke to so many musical and personal truths of ours. And where we actually see this, we wanted to see ourselves as a collective. So it was a very, very ambitious piece of recording. In that, I also, that's when I started incorporating also a string quartet. So yeah, some music was written for strings, and then we also had some strings in some of the music that we recorded. I think that was also an 11 track album as well, and was recorded and released in 2017. By then, I had experience in knowing how to, you know, go into the studio, get things done, how to, you know, look for, like, you know, like the editing process. I was refining my craft and process, particularly in the studio, and it taught me so much about just project management and, like, dealing with multiple personalities. And then that year was an attempt also to have that ensemble on the road. So I also launched that particular project with the help of I think, Concerts SA, and with the help of Pro Helvetia. And yeah, I think that was that.
Mm.
Yeah, and that did it in October. We went to Eswatini. We went to KZN, and we also went to Mozambique.
Yeah. You know, Mandla, jazz has taken you, and I love the fact that you went in this direction. Jazz has taken you from South African stages, you know, to stages worldwide. Let's talk about, you know, the travel moments that left you wide-eyed, I suppose, if I can call it that. And how does those experiences find their way into your music?
Yeah, I mean, I've traveled quite a bit. Even before I started recording my own personal projects, I used to be part of, I wouldn't say collective, but I was an ad hoc member of the Cape Town Opera, and through them I started performing on very big stages internationally. I think one of the ones was where we performed at the South Bank Theatre. We went to Edinburgh. We went to the Wales Millennium Centre. Everywhere from Barcelona to Germany, in Wiesbaden, we did Bordeaux. And through that, I encountered other musicians who also informed informed the language and also informed my practice. And after the shows, I'd go and experience the city life. I'd experience the culture. And that's how I started being exposed to other traditions of this music outside the ones from home. I had also spent some time as a student abroad. I spent a year in Oslo, Norway, where I had some of the best teachers in the world, and also was exposed to the tradition of Nordic jazz and how they find expression in the term that they called jazz. And that for me has informed my practice. And when I was making music, was with the pure purpose of actually telling my story from where I come from and with all those influences that I have taken along the way.
FM. You know, we're spending time in conversation here with Mandla Mlangeni this Sunday for today's edition of Our Africa. And he's not a stranger to the show as he makes a comeback this Sunday to reflect on the three projects, his jazz travels, including his upcoming performance at the 2025 Joy of Jazz Festival, which we'll be getting to during this conversation. But Mandla, you know, there's a kind of defiance, you know, if I can call it that, in your sound, a refusal to be boxed in, you know. What role, you know, does history, especially South Africa's, you know, history play in your compositions?
I think, I mean, when you say defiance, it's not by choice, you know. We're not defiant because it's cool. We're defiant because we try our best to be part of the system sometimes. And we know how, in terms, particularly in the live music sector, in the performance, and how it is that the doors don't just open. Sometimes you have to knock them down. Sometimes you have to build your own ecosystem, build your own communities. And that's how you also gain, and that's how you navigate this world, in that sometimes it's much easier or it's much better to also build build your the world as you'd want to see it. And some people might see that as being defined. And you're also looking at the histories and the multitude of experiences that where we come from. Hmm. It's also important for us to have sympathetic spaces, but many of the times that doesn't happen. So it's also there's the sense of community. I think it was very deep when I was starting out, especially when I was in school, especially when I relocated back to Joburg from Cape Town, that there were sympathetic spaces. I mean, I could name those spaces, such as your African Freedom Station, your Nikki's Oasis, and there were the Orbits. They exist as an ecosystem through which musicians could actually have the liberties of actually writing their music without being prescribed to saying that, oh, what you're doing is not jazz. This is how jazz is supposed to be. And obviously we were guided by those who had done it before us.
Yes.
So it forms part of our voice. It forms part of our journey. And now that we've had some experience doing it, it's heartwarming to see the younger ones also take up the mantle and show us how they're also doing it.
Really great to see, in fact, and very inspiring. I think, you know, they're showing the older musicians a thing or two about how they're interpreting things, which is really exciting to see.
Yes.
And speaking of exciting, you know, I want to talk about the Joy of Jazz Festival 2025. You are presenting the Oratorio of a Forgotten Youth on the prestigious Denali stage. What's in store for us there, you know, and any surprises maybe up the trumpet sleeve?
Definitely reaching for the stars. In the Dinner Lady stage, and we accompanied by the stars. It will be a very ambitious project because I'll be bringing the oratorio. And as you might know, the oratorio, I didn't explain it. Oratorio is more of a mythical, I would say, lends itself, it's a precursor to opera, which was practiced back in the 1600s. It doesn't contain costume, but like opera, unlike opera, there's no costume and there's no real storyline, but works on themes. So themes around the resurrection, themes around the mythology, sometimes Greek mythology, themes around ethnographs that are happening at the time. So our one is a re-mythologization of our histories, a particular one where we have fought for our liberation, for our struggles, and also the youth that was responsible for our freedom. Where are they now? Are their songs still being sung? How do we remember them? And how do we give voice to the new struggles now without us hurling stones at tankers, without us burning things? It's finding expression through the collective, through our collective histories and our collective stories. And that's what brings this this production to life in the form of the Oratorio of a Forgotten Youth. So it gives ode to Black consciousness and its impact on our lives, and how we also want to be seen as human, and also give breath to life of our new experiences as the youth.
Yeah. Of course, it is Sundays here at Kofifi FM, and for Our Africa, our featured musical guest is trumpeter Mandla Mlangeni, who we've been sharing some of this music that he's created during our conversation, and he is one of the musicians that are going to be performing at this year edition of the Joy of Jazz Festival, which takes place from the 26th to the 28th of September. And of course, for more information and the full lineup, do head to their website. That's joyofjazz.co.za. Now, Mandla, you know, as we head to a close, with each project, you know, you're almost like a sonic activist. Is there a message you're hoping people don't miss, you know, in your body of work?
You know that we never lose the essence of who we are. Things might change, but our stories still remain valid, and that we should continually make the strides in keeping our stories alive. Stories are what make us. Stories are what define our culture. Stories are what we pass on to the next generation.
Stories are what we pass on to the next generation. Well said. And of course, Mandla, as I always ask, you know, what's next for the Mandla Mlangeni chapter? Maybe another album, a new tour, maybe a secret collaboration that you can only drop here for the KJ Show listeners as an exclusive. What are we looking at on the horizon?
Definitely. And well, in the coming weeks, in the coming days, actually, I'll be presenting my other project from Cape Town called the Tune Recreation Committee. We'll be performing at the Untitled Basement on the 31st of May.
Nice.
At 7 p.m., tickets can be purchased on Quicket. Remember, it's the Tune Recreation Committee. And if you want to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram under Mandla is Mlangeni. And other things up the pipeline will be shared in due course if you choose to follow.
Absolutely. And we'll be right there giving them the front row access here on the KJazz Show. And we are certainly looking forward to seeing you, my friend, on the Dinaledi stage for this year's edition of the Joy of Jazz Festival. Mm-hmm. And once again, thank you so much for catching up with us this Sunday.
Always a pleasure. Enjoy.
He is a trumpeter, composer, and band leader. His name is Mandla Mlangeni, and he was on the KJazz Show.